When we talk about love, what comes to your mind instantly? Most probably, the picture of two lovers, right? And for people in love, wedding ceremony is the most wonderful moment. Well, which part in the wedding ceremony is most dramatic? Which part of the wedding ceremony do you remember so much, those who have been in wedding ceremony? It is the part of the wedding ceremony when both lovers would express their vow. Now, those who have taken their vow during the wedding ceremony, did you or do you still remember what you vow to your spouse? Most often, the bride and groom may vow and say, "I take you to be my wedded spouse. Before God and these witnesses, I promise with God's help to have you, to hold you from this day forward, for better and for worse, for richer and for poorer, in health and in sickness, to love and cherish you, to be true and faithful spouse as long as we both shall live. This is my pledge to you." Wow. Those words in a wedding vow are very sweet, so sweet, wonderful to hear. Those words of vow should be written and framed and displayed in a bedroom. Who among us have written their wedding vows and framed it and hang it in their bedroom? Someone may. How many wedded couples have seriously taken into consideration their wedding vow? How serious were you in your wedding vow? Someone may rationalize, "Well, I always wear my wedding ring. My wedding ring is lost." Of course, many married individuals always wear their wedding ring as symbol of their fidelity and faithfulness to their marriage. Look at your fingers. I'm not a very good example. My wedding ring is lost. Similarly, many Christians would wear cross pendants. Do you wear cross pendants? Why? It's a symbol of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they wear the cross pendant, it says, "I believe in Jesus Christ." Biblically, what did Christ want us to practice as a symbol of love for Him? What do you think? Is it wearing cross pendants? Or let's reflect what He declares in John 14, 15 to 17. Let's read together. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." That is the practical symbol that the Lord Jesus wants us to practice as proof of our love for Him. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, obey my commands." Now, do you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life right now? Practically, how can we prove that the Holy Spirit is living in us? we sense that joy. Not because we celebrate 33rd anniversary of this church, but every day we should sense joy, not just during anniversaries. The joy. Joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. We sense patience. We sense peace. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we obey the commands or prescriptions of the Lord Jesus, we sense that love. Christ did not require us to say, "I love you, Christ. I love Christ." He did not require us to say that, though it is good, it is sweet, it is nice to say it, but He did not require it because anyone can say it. But to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, only those whom the Holy Spirit live with can obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ wants us to keep His commands. He wants us to follow His prescription, divine prescription, not by our ability because we cannot do it. So He appealed to God the Father to give us the Spirit of truth. He will be the one who enables us. He will be with us. He will help us obey the commands of the Lord. So we must diligently study the scripture for us to know the prescription of Christ that we should obey. Let us reflect what James chapter 1 verse 25 says. Let's read. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed in what they do. When we obey the prescription of Christ, it's not only that we are proving our life for Him, but actually it is beneficial to us because there is a promise that the Lord bless us when we obey Him. Now, He enables us to obey. We are proving that we love Him, and then we are also blessed when we obey. How wonderful is that? Christ gave His divine commands for us to receive blessings. Obeying Christ won't just simply prove our love for Him. What else? We receive His blessing. And as we continue in the topic, in our topic of love, about love in 1 Corinthians, let us keep in mind that we obey God with agape love or divine love of God. We should not try to obey the Lord with our human initiatives because we cannot obey the Lord with our human ability, with human effort. We cannot. We should be motivated by agape love, divine love of God, as we serve the Lord. Agape love should always be the flavor of our obedience to the Lord. Why? Agape love protects. Agape love protects, as we have read a while back. What does agape love protects us from? Let's read again our passage. Love always protects. Now, the term always is also translated in all things. Love protects us in all things, always. The term protects, the obedience to the Lord, it attracts disappointment, frustration. When we obey the Lord, we are frustrated sometimes from negative effects when there are unexpected results of serving the Lord. So regardless of what comes out of our obedience to the divine commands of Christ, we must be sure to be prompted, that we are prompted by divine love of God. agape love, for protection. And the term protects includes this cover. It's like the hand covering its cheeks from rain or something, or conceals, ward off, or bear with, or endure patiently. Agape love help us. It's like a roof, this roof of our building, that covers us, protects us from rain, from snow, from heat of the sun. A roof should endure to shield, to cover, to protect us, to protect everyone, anything under it. Similarly, agape love, the love of God, is the Lord's protection and cover to preserve, to hide, conceal us from possible destructive elements. In all things, He protects us. How wonderful the love of God is. Let's reflect on what it says in Psalm 91, verse 1 to 4. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feather, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Wow. Wonderful. If you have something to memorize from the Bible, this is one verse that you would memorize and reminds you of God's love. Now, for those who we have dedicated their vehicles in the past, whenever we dedicate vehicles, we read Psalm 91. Because we want to claim the promises of God's protection. But we must make sure that we have that stronger faith. Faith to believe that whatever happens, we still sense that agape love of God. God's divine love. God may protect the vehicle, but if accident happens, agape love protects our heart from disillusion. Keep praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit always, with His presence in our lives. The fruit, His fruit of agape love will grow stronger. And the more love of God grows stronger in our lives, we trust the Lord always. Always. It says in verse 7, love always trust. Remember that. A while back we read, love always protects. Now, love always trusts. Agape love is practically displayed while we trust God. Only when the agape love is working in our lives that we trust God. We just cannot say, I trust God, I trust God. But many times, our actions do not reveal that we really trust God. We are confused many times, but when agape love progress, grows stronger in our lives, the more we trust the Lord. The term trust is exemplified when we put money in the bank. When you put your money in the bank, we entrust to the bankers our money. Why? We believe that they take care of our money. We believe that they keep our money safe. This is why we trust. When we say we trust, we let them to their care. When we trust the Lord, we give our trust to the Lord because we trust that the Lord keep us. Unless we need money, for example, for emergency, we let our money in the bank to have interest. When you put your money today in the bank, you do not go and withdraw it tomorrow, right? Unless it's emergency, you don't do that. You let your money there because you what it saved. Similarly, when the Holy Spirit produced fruit of agape, love, divine love in our heart, we trust the Lord. We trust the commands of the Lord. We trust Him. We trust that the commands of God, these are prescription for blessedness, so that when we obey the commands of the Lord, we are blessed. Do you have that? Do you trust that when you obey the command of God, you would be even more blessed? Now, if there's a little hint of like, I don't trust that much, then ask the Lord, Lord, let your love grow stronger in my life so that I will trust that your love, that obeying your commands, brings blessing to me. When we trust Christ, that his commands are prescription for blessedness, we obey diligently. What is diligently? It's not one time obedience. It's every day we diligently obey the Lord. Every moment of our lives, we obey the Lord because we trust the Lord. It's like trusting your money in the bank. You don't withdraw it the following day. Not just for one day you trust, and following day you don't trust. No, you trust it until you think that it's time for you to withdraw. What do you think? Reflect on what the Lord said about the servant who hid his master's gold in Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 to 30. Let's read together. The man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever will be given more, or whoever has will be given more, they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This passage is about obedience to the Lord. The Lord has given us spiritual gifts. Some have been given more, some have been given less. But it's not about more or less that are given to us. It's more about how we obey the Lord, how we let the spiritual gift He gave us bear fruit. This story is about trust in the Lord. The lazy servant did not trust his master, just as his words had explained. He did nothing. The master suggested that the servant should have put the money in the bank to have an interest, to earn interest. But the lazy servant did nothing. The lazy servant was punished for doing nothing that benefits his master. In comparison, there was a servant who was given 10 bags of gold. He used the 10 bags of gold of his master and earned more 10 bags of gold. Why? Why did that servant use that money to earn more? Why did he not just hid it away, just like the servant with one bag? Because the servant with 10 bags trusted that his master will reward him for his effort. Indeed, the master rewarded him and gave him authorities of many things. If you read through this passage, go back in the in your Bible and read through, it points out to the time when the Lord Jesus returns. When He comes, all believers, dead or alive, we meet Him in the air, wait for the time when we return back to earth and reign for 1,000 years, 1,000,000. And each believer will be given authority according to what you have done. How serious are you to believe that God, the Lord Jesus, would give you authority when we come back for 1,000 years to reign on earth? How strong? Can you imagine that? Are you looking forward to that? The Lord will reward each believer according to what He has done. Christ our Lord will return sooner. We trust and expect that He rewards us according to our obedience to His commands. What authority will He give you? Agape love is most manifested in our trust in the commands of Christ. These are prescribed for our benefit, actually. We obey Christ because we hope for His reward. We hope. Not just for the blessing we have right now, but we also hope that He rewards us because and we obey Him all the more. The Bible says, love always hopes. Now, the Holy Spirit produces agape love in us. So trust Christ and hope that He protects us when things and situations are not favorable to us. The term hope is also trust, which is actively waiting in expectation for God to fulfill His promise. We have hope. This hope is our confidence in the Lord, and most particularly in the completion of our salvation. We trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because we believe that He saved us from hell and bring us into heaven. And we are waiting for that. We hope that it will happen sooner and not later. Life on earth is challenging. There are a lot of calamities that we suffer, struggle with. Back in Asia, somewhere in the Philippines, they are now struggling with typhoon. Sometimes in summer, many are victimized by wildfire. In the other side of the border, there's hurricane, there's earthquake, and not just natural calamities, there's also this man-made calamity, this war, economic recession, confusion in social media, if that is not a calamity. Many people are disturbed because they read their social media accounts. Whatever is published in social media, they believe and they are disturbed. People who are disturbed on social media sometimes need medical help. Are you bothered or affected by social media publicity? Despite all the struggles of life, we encourage everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we will be filled with agape love and be thankful to God. Keep praying. When you are disturbed, when you sense like there's no peace, ask the Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Don't stop asking the Lord. Maybe at first you are not very sincere. This is why you don't sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. But ask the Lord, give me, Lord, that sincerity to pray and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep asking the Lord until you sense that love, that peace, that joy in your heart. when the Holy Spirit produces fruit in your lives, and be thankful to God, we are reminded in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do, whether in words or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is a challenge to each of us. Whatever we do, yesterday, for example, are you thankful of what you did yesterday? What did you do yesterday? Did you go to work? Did you go to school? Did you go to the park? What is it that you were thankful? Now, when it says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it implies that our lifestyle, our behavior, should manifest transformation in our lives. That our life should be dedicated for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our behavior, our word, this should show or prove that we are transformed, that the Holy Spirit is actually working in our lives. Without that transformation, we deceive ourselves in thinking that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to sense it. The Lord wants us to experience it, His agape love. Do you sense His agape love active in you? Agape love protects us from possible confusion. It helps us trust and hope that God designed a series of events, good or bad, for our betterment. It's not just good. We think it's bad, but it is good for us. Remember Joseph, son of Jacob? Did God plan for him to be sold as a slave? Yes. Was it good? In the eyes of many, it was bad. Actually, his brothers think that they were punishing him. So they think it is bad for them to sell their brother. But God sees it, this is part of my plan. Now, in the time of Noah, remember you and your family are the only ones making that huge ship, ark, for 100 years. For 100 years, every day, you go to the mountain, cut wood, cut trees, and make it into lumber and build that. For 100 years, what are you doing? People are laughing. Friends are just sneering. How tough is that? That kind of life. It's tough. Was it the plan of God? If you think about those things, it's tough. Now, don't think that only good things are planned by the Lord. Think about King David, a shepherd. The shepherd, the youngest among brothers. His brothers would just try to boss around him. You are the youngest in your family, for example. You experience how your older brothers and sisters would try to command you or something, enslave you or something. Was it God's plan? Yeah. So that the Bible would say, a shepherd into king, from a shepherd to king. That's tough, right? So don't think that anything that is happening in your life is not within God's plan. If you are a believer, if you think that you are suffering right now, if God's love is working in your life, you look forward to that day when you would eventually say, wow, Lord, I didn't expect this, but praise God. Praise God. If you were promoted, for example, at your place of work, most probably you rejoice. Oh, thank you, Lord, I was promoted. That would possibly your reaction. But if you were ignored, somebody is promoted, it was not you, and you were the one who've been there for a long, long time and have been promoted. Agape love keeps you trust and hope that God has better plan for you so that you would persevere. You persevere because of agape love. You do not just force yourself, feel bad. This is my life. You feel bad. Oh, I just endure. This is my life. If that is what you feel, then agape love is not working. But if it is really hard, and still you sense that love, that joy, that peace in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit at work. You can hope that there is something great the Lord has been preparing for you. Why He allowed you to be in that situation? Perseverance is most practical manifestation that we really are saved by the grace of God. We persevere in our faith. It's not just one time rejoicing. It's every day, every week, every year. Just as God has been faithful in this church for 33 years. Look at that. Read that. God is faithful. That is, I made that actually in 2010. The first anniversary of this church that we've been here. Each time I look at it, that is the first anniversary celebration we are here. But if somebody would remove it, that's okay. But I still cherish it. That's, when I look at it, it reminds me of God's faithfulness for bringing us in this country of abundance. Keep on persevering. We do not rely on human effort. It is by the grace of God. If it is by the grace of God, we don't rely on our ability. Human effort is limited. It is limited. We can just do so much. We always hear that. But agape love keeps us persevering, serving diligently, not just one day. The Bible says, love always perseveres. Read that again. Love always perseveres. The term perseveres implies always continuous strong. Always continuous strong. It never gives up. That is what it means to persevere. If you give up, you did not persevere. Perseverance is not dependent on situation. We persevere not because we are good right now. Whether it's favorable or not, we persevere. We persevere when agape love, divine love of God, causes us to trust and hope in Him. When agape love gives us that hope in Him, we look forward beyond what is not favorable. It's easy to be disheartened. It is easy to be frustrated. It's easy to be disappointed when we are overwhelmed with responsibilities. How many among you have said this phrase, ako na lang ang ako? How do you translate that in English? Me, always me, is always me, is always me. Kind of like that in our language. Especially when you are many brothers and sisters, and you are always the one who is tasked to wash the dishes. Why is it? It's me again, it's me again. It's me, always me, 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 me. Did you say that before? If you have said that before, think differently. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and you will never say that again. Instead, you look forward to that day, when the Lord show you why He allows you to endure that challenging task. We stand our ground when situation seems unproductive. We never give up when agape love, divine love of God, is at work in us. We bear the burden against undesirable circumstances because we trust, we hope for betterment. Together, let's seriously reflect what it narrated in Mark chapter 5, 24 to 29. A large cloud followed and pressed around Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. According to experts, monthly period of women is very unpleasant. Do you women love it when you have monthly period? Yeah, I have monthly period again. Do you have that kind of feeling? Women endure, accordingly, abdominal pain, pelvic cramps, or lower back pain for others. And what else? Bloating. Yeah. And sore chest. And some women have craving for food or swinging of moods also. Is that true? Is it? Just imagine that such discomfort of women to happen every day for how many days do you endure? 7 days? 1 week? 1 month? 1 year? How about 12 years? How about every day you suffer for 12 years? Surely you would spend all you have, your money, just to ease the pain, but still nothing happens. That is tragic life. Well, that's exactly what happened to the woman in the story. She had no more money for doctor's appointment, and desperately she trusted that she will be healed by just a simple touch. Simple touch. And the garment of Jesus, indeed, she was healed. Desperately. Many times, God allows us to be desperate for us to approach Him. When we are desperate, ask the Lord, Lord, I've done everything, but still, I have this. Now it's your turn. Well, are you sick of your situation? Are you enjoying your situation? How strong do you believe that Christ can heal you from infirmities? Keep praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit until you sense that agape love of God that protects you from being disheartened, from being disillusioned, from being confused. Agape love is expressed in trust and hope so that you persevere. We persevere. We practically apply agape love in what it advises in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such thing. Whatever you learned, received, and heard from me, seen from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, if you do not sense that peace of God, if there's any idea that comes to your mind, ask yourself, is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? If it is not, then ask the Lord, this thing is not praiseworthy. Help me think of things that is true, lovely, pure, praiseworthy, excellent, admirable, lovely, so that I would think about such things. If you still cannot, then keep on asking the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me and let me sense your love so that I will think of what is pure, true, lovely, praiseworthy, and excellent. And then you would sense also with love, there's also the peace of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. If you still do not sense that peace, that love of God is not yet working, wait until that peace of God, you sense it. And you know that the love of God is at work in you. When we are anxious of no immediate result, when we obey the Lord, Lord, I've been obeying you for many years and yet this is the result. I cannot still think of praising you. Worse, it's not excellent yet. What is your tendency? The human tendency is quit, stop. That's the human tendency. But with love, we persevere. Love perseveres. Love of God perseveres. There's time to persevere. There's time to quit. So how can we know when it's time to quit? Whether we persevere or we quit, our deciding factor should be agape love. We persevere or quit, it should be because of agape love. Despite of unpleasant situation, agape love protects us from emotional setback. Agape love never ends. Agape love never fails. Read it again. Love never fails. Now the term fail means fall down, come to an end. So if we cannot persevere, then does it mean that agape love stopped? We relied upon our human effort. Human effort is limited. It will eventually end when we depend on our effort. Fail is practically exemplified when someone loses authority. He was in authority and then it ends. It fails. Can no longer enforce the law. It's kind of like, feels like an elected official who was removed from office or terminated from office. It fails. Likewise, when we cannot participate in the ministry, we fail also to practice our spiritual gift. But with agape love, we persevere. It's not very pleasant when we fail, right? With agape love, we obey Christ and not fail. Agape love is eternal because it comes from eternal God. It never comes to end. Love never fails. Love never ends. Now we will learn more about that. We'll learn that Faith, hope, and love remains, but the greatest is love. We'll learn about that later in the future, in the next coming days or Sundays. No matter what situation we are in, when agape love prevails in us, we can thrive. We can thrive. With agape love as our motivation, we also inspire others to persevere. We become exemplary. The agape love of God had been shown to us for 33 long years. As we celebrate the church anniversary, what is it that you wish to remember personally for many, many, many years to come? What is it? You may not appreciate to think that you only participated for one day while attending the church, right? I've been there. There was a man who was practicing driving, practiced driving in our church lot, parking lot. And he introduced himself. I've been there before. I joined the church before. Oh, really? Who was the pastor? I cannot remember. Maybe he came one day, but not really for many days because he did not remember the pastor. I hope you remember my name. Some of you do not know yet. If you go to that bulletin, you will find my name there. So that when one day someone may ask you in the future, and you say, I've been there. Who was the pastor? I think the preacher was. You will know. You can say that. But for one day, just participate in one day, that is not something you want to remember or be proud of to the next generation. You want to tell children, younger children, younger generation, that you participated diligently. Diligently. That is one thing you want others to hear from you. Now, later after the closing song, we'll be having our baptism ceremony. This box in front is table, but it is also used as baptism box. There's water inside it, and we'll be dipping inside the candidates. During this baptism, especially during anniversary, it's very special moment. Water baptism is public testimony of believers that they follow Christ in his death and his resurrection. When believers are immersed, when we immerse believers into the water, they are declaring, I die to my old self with Christ. And when we lift the believer up out of the water, the believer testifies, I resurrected to new life in Christ. That is the meaning of the water baptism as public declaration. There's no magical effect of water baptism. Well, the baptism candidate will be wet. That is not magic, right? Water baptism cannot save anyone. We are saved from eternal torture only by faith in Jesus Christ and in his crucifixion. Baptism cannot change anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can change us, transform us. The agape love practically proves our transformation. Let us reflect on what it declares in James chapter 2, verse 20 to 24. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith, that his faith and his action were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And what else? He was called God's friend. You say that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. Friends, if you haven't followed Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior in water baptism, as your public testimony, you may approach our church leaders and you will have baptism class. Before you will be baptized, you will have baptism class and you will learn what is the meaning of being immersed. Approach Brother Dave or other church leaders and we'll give you baptism class. And may the lives of these baptism candidates inspires us as they follow the Lord Jesus in water baptism, in his death and resurrection. May the Lord keep on inspiring us to make sure that agape love motivates us when we obey him to persevere, and despite unexpected circumstances, we still trust, we hope of his protection, and we diligently obey his prescription. Again, the scripture was written for us to know the prescription of Christ, for us to receive his blessing. Keep reading the Lord's prescription. And may we continue to thrive and flourish and bloom and inspire others as we grow spiritually and increase numerically as a church.